It might help to begin this sermon by setting the scene for this morning's gospel. First of all, this encounter between Jesus and the chief priests and elders is taking place in the temple. And it's worth noting that in the chronology of the larger story, this isn't the first time in this particular week that Jesus has visited the temple. You see, as Matthew tells it, this is Jesus' second visit to the temple in the last few days. Earlier in the week, Jesus entered Jerusalem, hailed with large throngs of people who shouted out, "The Son of David," greeted by palm branches and garments. That's right. This story is happening in the last week of Jesus' life. And after that triumphal entry, the first thing that Jesus does is he goes to the temple the first time, and he throws out the money changers and overturns their tables and chairs, running them out and accusing them of making the temple into a den of thieves. So when Jesus strides into the temple this morning, it's his second visit in what was probably the span of about 24 hours or so. And it's little wonder, therefore, that the chief priests and elders greet him with their accusatory question. "Just who do you think you are, Jesus? By what authority are you acting when you come striding in here, throwing things around, kicking people out? Where do you get off doing these things?" And of course, Jesus' response certainly goes a long way in helping to understand why he's going to end the week hanging from a cross. He's not exactly in the mood for their self-righteousness. After putting them on the spot by asking them a tricky question about John the Baptist, he ends up telling them that he has absolutely no intention of answering their question about authority. And then he proceeds to tell them that story that's guaranteed to make them red in the face. "A man has two sons," he begins setting the challenge. "One son says he'll not do what his father tells him. Another says he will. And the son who said he won't ends up doing what he said he wouldn't. And the son who says he will ends up doing exactly the opposite, skipping out on his responsibility and letting his father down." It's pretty clear from the context which son Jesus is saying that the chief priests and elders are. I think often we miss the point of the story, though, at least the point of the story that applies to us. It's important to remember that if there's anyone in the story that the Christian church and her members ought to be identifying with, it's not the tax collectors and the prostitutes. As a matter of fact, it's a good rule of thumb that when it comes to the gospel encounters with Jesus and the Pharisees or the chief priests and the elders, we're to always put ourselves in the shoes of the Pharisees, of the chief priests, of the elders. After all, if we're honest with ourselves, too often we say one thing and do another. On Sunday, we promise to love one another. On Monday, we find a dozen ways to defame, deceive, and just plain ignore each other. So no matter how hard we try, we, like the Pharisees, don't always manage to walk the walk that we talk. Instead, we fool ourselves into thinking that our faith in God is the same thing as our obedience to God. And those are the moments when it seems like we think that it's enough to say, "I'll go to the vineyard," without ever tensing a muscle to get out of pew or chair. Frederick Buechner is one of my favorite authors. He has a knack for expressing challenging theological concepts in very simple yet elegant ways, I think. When talking about the church in his book, Wishful Thinking, he wrote the following. The visible church is all the people who get together from time to time in God's name, while the invisible church is all the people that God uses to be his hands and his feet in the world. Buechner goes on to say, think of them as two circles. The optimist will say they're concentric, one and the same. The cynic will say they don't even touch. And the realist will say occasionally they overlap. In this morning's reading from the Gospel, I believe Jesus is saying to us, our task in the church, in the Christian faith, is to make the two circles one, individually and corporately. Jesus wanted his followers to be the crucible of God's love in the world. And we are called to be Christ's hands and Christ's feet. As the community of the faithful, our mission and ministry is to make incarnate, to make flesh, God's love for the world in the world. You may recall a story by Saul Bellow, who wrote about a rabbi who lived in a small Jewish town in Russia. The rabbi had a secret. Every Friday morning, the rabbi disappeared for several hours. The people of his congregation liked to tell others that his absence from them was their rabbi going up to heaven and talking to God. When a stranger moved into town and heard this explanation about the rabbi's weekly departure, he wasn't convinced. In fact, he was suspicious. So he decided to go and find out what was really going on. The next Friday morning, he hid in the rabbi's house, watching and waiting. As usual, the rabbi got up, said his prayers, but unlike other mornings in the week, he then dressed in simple clothes, grabbed an axe, and wandered into the woods to cut some firewood. On the man watching from afar, then watched the rabbi haul the wood to a shack on the outskirts of the village where an old woman and her sick son were living. He left them the firewood, enough for a week, and then quickly went back home. After seeing what the rabbi did, the stranger decided to stay, be a part of the village, join the congregation. And from then on, whenever he heard the villagers say, on Friday morning, our rabbi ascends all the way to heaven, the newcomer would quietly add, if not higher. In these opening days of our fall campaign, we're going to be asked to focus on being bold in mission. This passage from Scripture this morning challenges us to ascend higher. Higher than simply saying, I'll go to the vineyard. We're being asked by God to walk the talk in ways that reach out to serve the human family, in ways that we can compassionately support the lost and the least, the unloved and the unlovable, so that we can truly be the hands and feet and heart of God in this world. So I ask you, think about it. Reflect on it. Consider ways that you can be a part of the mission and outreach of Emmanuel Church, how you can support this parish as we seek to reach out beyond our walls to serve those in need. Consider how individually and corporately as a community we might make the circles of our heart and our intentions overlap with our hands, our feet, and our actions. Amen.